Good evening once again. If you would, please take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 8. This is a message that throughout my deputation process has, the passage has been one that has really touched my life and something that the Lord really used to encourage me throughout our ministry. And so hopefully it'll be a blessing to you guys as well. So if you would, let's open up in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, Lord, we just come before you right now. We just pray that you would just be doing a work in our lives, Lord, just allowing your word to touch our lives. Give me the words to speak and help me to speak your truth, Father. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Acts chapter 8, you see quite a bit of information packed into one. And we see that in the beginning of the church age, in Acts, Christ was getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he tells the church to spread out, to not just remain in Jerusalem, but to go to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, the church failed. They began to create a mega church in Jerusalem. They were focused on remaining in Jerusalem. And so we know that as when we fail to obey the Lord, that he sends chastisement. Well, he sends persecution and he gets his way anyways. The church explodes and spreads across the globe. And we see here a young man named Philip. He goes down to Samaria and begins to minister down there in Samaria. And a lot of people start getting saved. And he has this great experience where he challenges a local witch doctor, I guess is what you would call him. And, you see the victory of the Holy Spirit in this passage when Peter and John come down and they're able to get the victory for the Lord, and they rebuke this man for trying to buy the Holy Spirit. And after all of this has occurred, after all of these hundreds of people have begun to get saved in Samaria, we see in the beginning of our passage, verse 26. And the message that I want to get across to you today is hold your plans loosely. Hold your plans loosely, because they don't always match up with God's plan. So we see here in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord, my son must have played with my Bible because it's sticky. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Okay, so here we see hundreds of people are getting saved in this huge city of Samaria. And then the angel of the Lord appears unto Philip and says, go to the desert. Okay, so when I first read this, I say, what are you thinking, God? I mean, I'm going to leave a metropolis for the desert. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Philip here is probably thinking, I'm not sure what's going on. But we definitely see in this passage that Philip does not argue with God. He is so focused on doing the will of God that he does not challenge the will of God. He just says, okay, the Holy Spirit wants me to go down to the desert in Gaza. Okay, I'll go. We see in verse 27, and he arose and went. He was obedient to the will of the Lord. When I think of holding plans loosely, I grew up in the field of Brazil. It was home. It was something that I loved. It was a place that, when I came home on furlough, I couldn't wait till the day that we got back on the plane and went back to Brazil, because that's what I considered home. And the Lord brought us back to the States when I was a freshman in high school. My dad began to pastor here in the United States, and I was always like, I want to go back to Brazil. And when we began to go on deputation, I was the opposite of your typical MK. I wasn't ready to go home because I knew of all of these MKs who decided, I want to go home. So they did everything they could to go on deputation to go back to their home country. So I tried every door, and every door slammed in my face. And so I said, we had a team in our church that was going to Brazil as missionaries. It was a team of four couples, and they invited us and said, well, we see that the Lord is closing every door. Do you want to, we're inviting you to join our team and to come to Brazil with us. And so, we began to pray about it, and the Lord said, okay, You know, so we started on deputation to go to Brazil. And after two years of deputation, no doors were really opening. Every time I called up a church, they would say, "We already have missionaries in Brazil." Or, you know, Brazil already has enough missionaries, we're focusing on this area. And it was just like, God, if you've called me to Brazil, you know, I understand, you know, these different churches, they want to focus on different areas, but you got to open up doors for me. I got to have some meetings or else I'm never going to get to the field. But the Lord wasn't focusing on my plans. I wanted to get to the field as quickly as possible, not focusing on what God might have in store for us during our deputation period. And the Lord just said, wait. And so we waited. And then an opportunity arose that where our team was going to go down to Brazil to visit the pastor that we were going to be working with. And so we went down there. All five couples got on a plane and we flew down to Brazil and began to look at the field that we were getting ready to go and be a part of. And the Lord just began to burden our hearts and just began to close the door and just said, this isn't where I have you. This is not the location that I'm calling you to. I, as a Portuguese English-speaking person, was always focusing on a field that spoke Portuguese, or always focused on a field that spoke English. But I wasn't really focused on a Spanish-speaking country. To anybody who knows, as a Portuguese speaker, that's blasphemy to speak Spanish. You know, that's not acceptable. And so we began to pray and say, Lord, what is it that you want? There were so many things that were just showing us, this is not where you're going to be. The people began to ask us, why were you sending a team to us? We don't need a team. And then some areas we felt like we weren't quite welcomed by the missionaries. And we were just saying, you know, Lord, what's going on? And immediately we came home and we began to talk to our senior pastor, who's my father, and then our associate pastor as well. And we began to say, you know, we feel like the door is closing. And we sat down with our teammates, and they all said the same thing. We none of us had spoken to each other yet before sitting down that night, and they all said, we feel like the door is closing to Brazil. This isn't where God has us to go. And I think it took that point in time for me to realize it doesn't matter what you think your strengths are, whether you speak Portuguese or whether you speak English. You just need to surrender your life to the will of God. And if I want you to go to a Spanish-speaking country, you need to be willing to go to a Spanish-speaking country. If I want you to go to a French-speaking country, God forbid, you know, be willing to do that. And so the Lord really began to work in my life and just say, am I willing to go somewhere else? I've tried every Portuguese-speaking country on the map, and you've closed the door. And I just said, God, we're open to whatever you would have us to do. And it was at that time that my dad took a trip to the Dominican Republic and met Pastor Joel. Well, Pastor Joel had just gotten back from Brazil, visiting the work that my father was involved in Brazil, visited the church that he planted, visited the daughter churches that he helped establish, visited the mission board that he helped found in Brazil to send Brazilian missionaries to foreign fields to reach other Portuguese-speaking nations. And he looks at my dad and he says, can you help me do here what you helped do in Brazil? And the verse that came to his mind was, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? If your brother asks for help and you have the ability to do it, but you just say, God bless you, go in peace, it doesn't matter because you haven't actually helped them. And so we had the means of helping them is what's going through my mind, what's going through my dad's mind. And he's saying, I'll see what I can do. And so he comes home and he begins to meet with us and he says, are you willing to pray about this? And so we began to pray and we took a map trip down to the Dominican Republic and we began to see the work that they were doing there. And it just became clear. We just got a love for the people. We got a burden for the ministry that was going on down there. And the Lord confirmed in our lives that this was where he wanted us to serve. Amen. It took us 2 years to come to a point where we were actually going to meet this pastor and to be invited to come there. And God was knew that, and he was keeping us busy, focused on the ministry that he had for us before we knew about the ministry that he was calling us to. And he said, all I want you is to be faithful. And that's what we see Philip here is doing. He is being faithful to the will of God. He is saying, God, I'm going to go to the desert if that means that that's where you want me to go. It doesn't matter whether it makes sense to me. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you've commanded me to go. And it says in verse 27, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Here we see, most people think, you know, he comes up and there's a man in a chariot. That's not the case here. This man was a very important man. He had a whole entourage with him. It would be like the Secretary of the Treasury here in the United States. He doesn't go out whenever he wants to because he's very important. And if he's taken captive, it's very bad for our country. And so therefore, here we see this man, and he's probably got many servants. He's got guards, everything that he needs in order to have a comfortable trip back to Ethiopia. And so Philip probably sees him without any trouble, and he comes up, and this man is what they call a God-fearer. He has come to Jerusalem to worship. He understands that this God of Israel is the true God and that he dwells in the temple in Jerusalem. And so he comes to Jerusalem because he's seeking the truth. But unfortunately, as we know, the worship in Jerusalem is decayed. It is no longer that biblically centralized faith. They have corrupted it, and God is no longer there. And so this man is leaving empty-handed, except for the scroll that he is reading, and that's the prophet Isaiah. And he is trying to understand this point. And we see in verse 29, I'm sorry. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So this man is reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit comes to Philip and say, go near to him. I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of nervous about approaching a political official of this greatness. It would kind of make me feel nervous about witnessing, but God doesn't care about our comfort zones, does he? He says, go near to him, and he expects Philip to obey. And that's something that each one of us needs to understand. When the leading of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we need to obey, because God is never going to put you in a situation that you can't handle. God is always going to prepare the way so that when you witness, it may not always happen to where the person gets saved, but that's not for us to decide. When God says, go near to this person, we must obey, because he has established that this is a time that this person needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Philip here is obedient, and he runs to this man, and he hears him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he asks him a question that he already knows the answer. Understandest thou what thou readest? We know in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the word of God is what to the unsaved? It's foolishness. They don't understand the things of the Spirit because they don't have the Spirit to help them discern the things of God. We are able to understand the Word of God because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the illumination of the Holy Spirit guiding us. And Philip knows that this man, based off of everything that's occurred so far, this man needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he understands this man doesn't understand the Word of God. And he says, understandest thou what thou readest? And then in verse 31 we see, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This man is craving to understand what the Word of God is saying. He knows he doesn't understand what this writing is saying, and he wants Philip to come up and to explain it to him. This man was prepped by God at this very moment in time to be at this very exact location to be met by Philip so that he could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And when we see the location of the scripture in which he was at, and it says in verse 32, and the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? for his life is taken from the earth. That passage that we just read is found in Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. This is a perfect passage for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because this passage is speaking about whom? Jesus. It's talking about his suffering, death, and what he did on the cross. And this man is not understanding this passage, but God has orchestrated this encounter to the letter so that had Philip argued with the Lord, he would have missed out and we would not have this perfect illustration of an obedient man obeying his Savior and coming and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's something that God orchestrates in each one of our lives. He brings things into our lives to get us to the point that he has for us. For me, I wasn't ready 2 years before to go to the Dominican Republic. God had me raising support to go to Brazil because he knew that I was not ready to be on deputation headed to the Dominican Republic. That was not his will for that time. It had not been brought to my attention, the ministry that was going on in the Dominican Republic. But he was orchestrating things perfectly so that one day that would be made clear and I would be able to submit to the perfect will of God for our ministry in the future, which is in the Dominican Republic. This is what happened with Philip. He obeyed the Lord, and the Lord orchestrated everything to the point where even the exact passage that this man is reading in the Word of God is talking about Jesus Christ. And we see that the Ethiopian eunuch in verse 34 has no idea what this is talking about. And he says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." He took the opportunity. He was obedient to the guidance of the Holy Spirit to the point where now he's able to share the gospel with this man. This is something that it's not just Philip or the missionaries or the pastors or the deacons are called to. This is something that each one of us is called to do, because the Great Commission wasn't given just to the disciples. It was given to the church. It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, beginning in your Jerusalem and going to your Judea and then to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth." You need to be starting here. Right outside this door is your mission field. Each one of you are missionaries called by God to reach this area for Jesus Christ. And then when you're done with this area, South Carolina. And then North Carolina, and then continuing on to the United States, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is the commandment of our Savior. And he's, for some reason, has chosen you and me to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could have picked angels, which would have been far better at this than we are, and far more obedient than we are. But he has chosen to use us, his children, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Philip here was faithful. And it makes me think of our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and it says that the whole point of, we can go there real fast. Every time I get put on, like, pull a verse out of thin air, I always forget it. I even forgot John 3:16, so you forgive me for going here. In verse 9, it says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." That should be the goal of every believer. And this is the goal of Philip, is to be accepted of Jesus Christ in the day when he stands before his Savior. That is something that each one of us should be striving for, is to be accepted of him. And in verse 36, we see, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So this man has come to an understanding of what Philip is teaching him. And then he says, you know, "I want to be baptized." But Philip here is being cautious, as I understand your pastor was today. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This is the message that Philip was sent to share with this young man, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he came and he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, paying for our sins, and making a way so that we can have peace with God, all we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as our Savior, and we have fellowship with God again. That's something that we could never do. It's something that we would never even attempt because we are sinful beings, and there was no way for us to remedy the situation we were in. So God reached down to man, and He offered the perfect sacrifice, His Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the slaughter as a sheep who opened not His mouth and just allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross so that you and I could have fellowship with God. That is the message that we have to share with this world. That is what gives us a hope for eternity. And this Ethiopian eunuch accepts that message and he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not the salvation or the baptism that was going to save him. This man understands that the only way that he was going to have fellowship with God was through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Christ was what was going to pay for the sins that he had committed. That was what was going to establish a relationship with God. And so Philip, so in verse 38 we see, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. This man, at this point, understands that he had found that which he had come to Jerusalem to find. He had found the joy of the Lord, and he was returning because he had security of where he was going to spend eternity now. He understood who this God of the Bible was, what he had done, and he had accepted it as his own. And now he has a hope, and so he returns home rejoicing. And there are, the historians begin to say that it was about this time that churches began to pop up in Ethiopia. We don't know, but I assume that this Ethiopian eunuch didn't keep quiet. And when he got home, he began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think it's coincidence that it was about this time that churches began to pop up in Ethiopia. And so Philip, at that point, was going to have a part in the ministry of everything that this Ethiopian eunuch did because he was faithful to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are able to be a part of other people's ministry through our faithfulness with them. With missionaries, as you pray for them and as you support them, you take part in everything that they do on their mission field. That's how you take part of the uttermost parts of the earth. And as you pray for them, you are standing in the gap for them, providing the defense that they need as Satan tries to attack the work that they're doing. With your pastor, as you serve in your local church, you take part in everything that occurs in this local church by being involved in the ministries that are going on here. Those are the things that we as Christians can do to be involved in the Great Commission. And here, now Philip, because of his faithfulness, will be involved in everything that this Ethiopian eunuch does. But he's not content to stop there. We see in verse 40, and Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He didn't say, yes, I got a great victory. I've got hundreds of people saved in Samaria, and I've got this Ethiopian eunuch. All right, now it's your turn to take over. I'm tired. No, it says here that he was found in Azotus, and he continued preaching in every city that he went. He understood that until the day that God called him home, he was to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many people get saved and how many you can check off. Your job is never finished until God calls you home. First, 2 Corinthians 5 states that in verse 20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. God has sent us as representatives of His here on this earth, and people are to look at us, and we are to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every creature that we can come across, so that at the point where we get called home, He can say, thou good and faithful servant, you have done your duty, only that which was your duty, but you were faithful with what I gave you. That is what each believer should be looking for, is to be pleasing to their God and to be faithful to share the gospel, because somebody was faithful to share the gospel with you. And we should be having joy and a desire to share the gospel with others so that they in turn can have the joy that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, Lord, we just come before you right now. We just thank you for Philip and his faithfulness and your word, Lord, and just how it transforms our lives, Lord. We pray that you would just be helping us to be involved in whatever ministries you call us to be, that we'd be faithful to share the gospel with those that you, your Spirit moves us to come along and to witness to, Lord, that you would just be doing a work in each one of the lives here today, and understand that if each person was faithful to share the gospel, that souls would be saved, Father. We just pray all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.